Now, folks, I told a few people that for some reason I didn't sleep last night, so I'm a little tongue-tied. My thick southern tongue's fatter than normal, so if I have troubles pronouncing some words this morning, I hope you'll overlook that. And I don't want you to think in trouble, but boy, the questions are going to be flying this morning. I hope you're ready to look inward today for this message, because we're going to look to a grand old story. And as we get to that point, folks, I want to share just one passage with you. In Malachi, the Lord says, I am the Lord, and I change not. I do not change. And you know, folks, in a world of constant turmoil and trouble and flux and uncertainty, it is nice to have a constant that we can hold on to, that the Lord does not change. His mercies are new each and every day. And the truth of His Word does not change. Regardless of what happens in society, God's Word stands forever, and He changes not. Now, folks, I want you, I'm going to be asking these questions because you need to look inward for this story. I want you to immerse yourself into the picture today of where we're going to. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them. If not, it's going to be on the PowerPoint, to the book of Joshua. And I'm going to read passages, and we're going to stop and go back and examine them, and we're going to skip a few passages to try to condense it all into the time that we have this morning. And folks, you're all familiar with this occurrence that happened here in the book of Joshua, but I want to begin reading in verse 2. And these are the words of the Lord as He speaks to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, folks, I want to stop right here for just a minute. To give some clarity to the background, Moses has passed away, and the Israelites have been mourning his passing for 40 days. And they are camped over on the east side of the Jordan River. And all this time, there's uncertainty because Moses had led the Israelites for 40 years. For 40 years, manna had come down from heaven and fed them. But now Moses has passed away. And so the Lord speaks to Joshua. Almost every Bible commentator that I can read and look up will tell us that at this point, Joshua is 80 years old. And suddenly he has been tasked with the responsibility to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Now, people lived a little longer back then. Later we learned that Joshua was 110 years old when he passed away. But there's several people here in this congregation that are 80 years old. How would you feel if that responsibility was suddenly placed upon your shoulders? You know, the estimates vary as to the number of Israelites that were here. So some people estimate that there were up to 2 million people. It's a lot of people that Joshua had to lead. So it really doesn't matter the accuracy of that estimate. We do know from the records that we can gain that there was a minimum of 1.2 million. Whatever it was a vast number of people. And the Lord has approached, well, He hasn't approached. Yes, He approached him, but He has commanded Joshua. So folks, how would you feel? I just said a lot, you know, the Lord never changes, but boy, life changes, doesn't it? We saw it change when Brother Clay passed away. It changes for each and everybody. Folks, we all have changes that come in our life, oftentimes unexpectedly. How do you handle them? What do you do? How would you have handled this command? Now, I'm going to skip some things here, so just read with me in verse 9. And here we read a familiar passage, and the Lord tells Joshua, and this is the second time He's told him this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In times of stress and turmoil, folks, do you remember that statement? It's repeated many times throughout the Bible. The Lord is always with us. When you're facing big decisions, when something catastrophic or tumultuous has come into your life, what do you do? Do you obey the Lord? Would you have followed and did what Joshua was asked to do? I mean, you need to think about it. Truly, try to put picture it as a movie if you want to. Put yourself in the place of Joshua. How would you have handled that? How would you have handled go over this Jordan River? Well, we do know what Joshua did. He commanded the people to go over the Jordan River. As we turn, and I realize, folks, I should have broken this down into several sermons, but I just felt the need to try to do it all in one today. So I'm passing over a lot of passages. We're skipping chapter 2, where we have the beautiful story of the Israeli spies and Rahab and the story of faith that we hear there. But it's important that we turn on over to chapter 3 now. Chapter 3, if you're turning in your Bibles, and read verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days. And I read that next passage because they were there for 3 days. Now I want you to visualize something that you might know, but you may not know. The terrain around the Jordan River varies a lot because the Jordan River starts up in Syria. It goes south all the way down into the Dead Sea. And where they were camped, they had a little bit of, I guess for the time, you know, there was a wide diversity of people, of age groups, children, elderly people, sick people. But they had about a 3-mile walk to the Jordan River from where they were camped. And it was gently sloping downhill. It wasn't rocky mountainous terrains like it is in the north. But still, it was a little bit of a downward slope that they had to walk. And they get there to the banks of the Jordan River. And they find something that I can't say exactly how unexpected it was, but for me and you, if we're putting ourselves in the story, it was probably unexpected. Because if you skip ahead and we find in verse 13 that it was a time of harvest and the Jordan River overflows its bank every year at the time of harvest. So all these many people, hundreds of thousands of people, are now camped beside a swollen flood stage Jordan River. Now folks, if you put yourself in that scenario, what would you start thinking? As I did some research on the Jordan River, you know, it's not a tremendously big river. It's approximately the size of the Chattahoochee. But boy, it changes when flood season comes. It ranges in depth from 4 up to 12 feet deep normally. Of course, when it floods, it's going to be deeper. But because it's descending, going down to a lower elevation, it always has a current. And in flood season, they say that the current can be as fast as 40 miles an hour. So there they are, these many thousands, hundreds of thousands, or a million people, sitting there for 3 days looking at this torrent of muddy, rushing water going by, wondering, how are we going to cross this river? You know, maybe young people could have got across it. When current's that fast, you just can't truly swim in it. But maybe the young could have got across it, but what about the little children? What about the elderly people that don't have the strength? What about the sick that might be being pulled in carts? What about the livestock? How are all these people going to cross this swollen Jordan River? Now, how would you think? How would you feel? Brother Morris just prayed in his prayer, and I thank you for what you prayed, because how often do we want to take things in our own hands and try to do things rather than trusting God and following his command? How would you have felt camped there looking at that Jordan River, wondering, how are we going to do this? Would you be doubting? Would that voice of "I can't" be rising up inside you? How strong would your faith be? Only you can answer that, because we're all different people. Now let's continue reading verses 2 through 8. So it was that after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And folks, this is important. We're going to come back to this. He's saying, watch it from a distance. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Another command that requires faith. Folks, how would you feel if you were one of those Levite priests that was bearing the ark on the wooden staffs that they carried it by? And you've been sitting here for 3 days watching that rushing water go by, and now you are commanded to go and stand in the river. I think it'd be, you know, there'd be a lot of anxiety in most people's hearts if they were commanded to do that. So just be honest with yourself. Can you picture yourself? Would you have the faith to step out into that rushing, cold, muddy water and stand in the river? That's what they were commanded to do. How do you handle adversity, folks? I want to ask that question repeatedly throughout this message. Do you remember God's commands? Do you remember the statement that I am with you wherever you go? You see, we all have our Jordan rivers in life, no matter how old we are. We all encounter troubles that we just don't know how we can get around them. They seem insurmountable. Do you step out in faith? We need to look inwardly at that. All right, now we're going to do a little more reading, and then we're going to come back. Starting in verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeraton. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all that crossed over on dry ground and all of the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Folks, this is a miracle that almost is in comparison on scale of parting the Red Sea. The Lord stopped the flow of the river north of them, and it says it stood up in a heap. It wasn't just a slow trickle that they had to go across getting their feet wet. It says they crossed over on dry ground. And the Jordan River stopped flowing all the way down to the Dead Sea. All the water stopped. Because that's the power that the Lord has. The Israelites needed a miracle. What do you think was passing through those people's mind when that water was still rushing by? You know, I'd mentioned the terrain. When the flood stages occur, any river has a lot of undergrowth around it. When the waters come up, you can't see it. To go stand in that river, you have been walking through brush piles and things, easily tripped up, and you could have fallen into that torrent, that water, and drowned. But the priest went forward anyway. And when they did, I hope you notice, when they acted, when they had the faith in their heart, overcame their any fear or reservations that they may have had, when they stepped out in faith, the water stopped. And folks, we have to step out in faith so many times in our life to see the miracle that God has waiting right there before us. Do you have the faith to step out into that water? It stood up in a heap. It dried up, it says, for the entire nation of Israel to cross over. Folks, that wasn't just a 10-minute occurrence. How long do you think it would take for, let's drop the estimate from 2 million to 1 million. How long would it take to empty 10 of the stadiums here in Atlanta that holds 100,000 people? It would take a long time to cross that river for 1 million people. And what if it was 2 million? You see, the waters were held back and they stood up in a heap by the hand of the Lord. You see, the Israelites needed a miracle. And God performed it because He was leading them. Folks, miracles still happen every day. Oftentimes we want to dismiss when the miraculous things happen and explain it away by some other explanation rather than praising God for the miracles that happen in our lives. But not just our lives, the miracles that we see happening in other people's lives too. We need to praise God for the miraculous intervention that He has. And folks, we all have the gift of faith. How quick are we to share it? How quick are we to step out in faith when we come to those Jordan rivers, those troubles in our lives? Now, I want to go back up because I told you that something was important. And this gives us a little bit of clarity, I think, to these questions I've just been asking you. If you go back up to verses 2 through 4, the officers are going through the camp commanding the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and priests, the Levites, bearing it, you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know by the way which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. Now folks, why was that? Again, I'm going very fast, and this is maybe a little subtle thing, but why were they commanded to stay pretty far distance back from the ark? Well, I want you to consider what's in the ark. In the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets written by God and given to Moses. Those were inside the ark, the words from the Lord. But there were other things inside that ark too. There was a pot of manna, the bread from heaven. And folks, that's very symbolic, because God feeds His children each and every day, and He feeds us through His word too. Jesus said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." There was a pot of manna in there, representing the word from the Lord. But there was two other things. There was Aaron's staff. And if you remember the story, when some of the priests wanted to rebel when the Israelites were in the desert with Aaron and Moses, Moses commanded Aaron to throw down his staff in front of the priests to bleed, so that they would know and understand that the Lord was speaking through Moses and Aaron. And when he took that dead stick and threw it down, leaves sprouted and almonds grew on that staff. You see, that dead stick suddenly blossomed into life. Much as it is when the Holy Spirit comes into the hearts of God's people. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we are made alive through Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That was in that ark too. And on top of that ark was the mercy seat, where we find grace, which is symbolic now in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, all of that was encompassed and within that ark. And it was going before the people. You see, folks, the Israelites were commanded to follow God. Keep your distance, but keep your eyes on the ark. Because you know how it is in a crowd. When you get all bunched up in a crowd, you start looking at the person in front of you. And then suddenly you start following that person, and you take your eyes off of what's important, and you start following people. Folks, we are to follow God to know which way to go in life, not follow people. When we start following other things besides God's word that is clearly going before us, we start listening to our emotions, we start listening to thoughts and directions from other people who may be misguided by their own emotions, or we simply start listening to the philosophies of men and not God's word, which does not change. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death." How easy it would be to have wandered off and get tangled up into some of that brush pile and fall. How easy it is to not follow the Lord. The steps of a good man, we find in Psalms 37, are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His ways. Then spake Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, folks, as we are going through this message, look at your own heart. Are you following Jesus Christ? What are your eyes fixed on for the direction in your life? The Israelites were commanded to look and follow the ark, follow the instructions of the Lord Almighty. We have God's word right here, that manna that we can feast on. Are we living it? Are we following God? Now, folks, let's turn over to chapter 4, because this is a very important start part of this story. And it came to pass, verses 1 through 7, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. They're commanded to pick up these stones. You ever wondered why did he say, why pick up stones and not rocks? You know, when we think about a lot of the rivers, you think of big rocks and things. And they were told to pick them up and put on their shoulders. But they were told to pick up stones and not rocks. And I believe there's a parallel there between the Israelites and between us today. You see, stones are rocks that have just been polished smooth. Water over time, the more it passes over, rounds off the rough edges. Folks, the Israelites wandered for 40 years in that desert. The generation that had no faith to go over into the promised land 40 years prior had all passed away. So this generation of people had been living by faith, following Moses at the command of God, feasting on the manna that came down from heaven. And they had tremendous battles that they faced too, but they saw God's victorious hand lead them over each and every one. You see, the passage of time had eroded away the rough edges in our lives when we don't believe. Time has a way of doing that. It refines us. It polishes us. And it brings our luster to the surface. And that's what faith does. Folks, they were told to pick up these stones and carry them over to be memorial stones. See, the difficult things in our lives do the same thing. When we go through difficult times, when we have our Jordan rivers to cross, and we cross over them and we look back in our life, our faith has grown. God is refining us, and we're becoming stones as well. Can you recall when God has brought you through hard times? I think each and every one of us can. I don't know if you can say in your life that you have truly crossed the Jordan River, but I kind of believe from the age of most of this congregation that you have. I feel like I have. And folks, the truth is, most of the time in lives, we have more than one Jordan River to cross. Do you have the faith to step out into that rushing water? You know, the Jordan River is very symbolic of our last phase of life, when we pass from this life over into the promised land. Last Sunday, in recognition of Brother Clay's passing, we did sing for our closing hymn on Jordan's stormy bank I stand in class and cast a wishful eye. We all look forward to that promise of heaven, don't we? But folks, we have a lot of living between now and then. We have our Jordan rivers to cross. And I'm going to tell you again, because of the age of our congregation, except for the little ones who need to be listening, but the older generation, and I'm glancing over here at Brother Morris and Sister Teresa and Kim and Brandon, because they have the little ones here with them today. But this is impactful for each and every one of us. We need to be memorial stones. We need to be looking at each other, just like we looked at Brother Clay, who was 93 years old, who passed away. And as I look at the elders here in our congregation too, and those in our lives that we know, how did they handle the hard times? Was their faith eroded away and washed downstream, or did it hold strong and they made it through their Jordan rivers that they had to cross in their lives? I'm going to tell you, we need to be that example for the generation behind us, to your children and to your grandchildren, so that when they ask in times to come, what do these stones mean? We remember what good things the Lord has done. And I think about Brother Clay. You know, folks, Brother Clay was a remarkable man. But like all of us, he wasn't perfect either. He had a lot of trials in his life. He certainly had trials in his family. But his faith never dissipated. He clasped it and held it strong in his heart all his life. And I had hoped that some of the Colburn grandchildren would be here this day, because I wanted to look them right in the eye and say, you have a strong example of a godly man whose faith never dissipated throughout life. And that is what a memorial stone, a memory stone should be. And folks, we should all be memory stones for the next generation. When we are commanded to go stand in the river, I pray that your faith is strong enough to do that. And I pray that you will remember the passage that God told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9 again, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He is always with us, folks. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." No matter what problems we are facing, folks, the Lord is always with us. Now, I read a somewhat unrelated scripture reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark, where the Lord Jesus Christ was in the boat and the disciples were taking them across the Sea of Galilee, and that storm came up. And the storm was so severe that waves were coming into the boat. And folks, this wasn't a tiny little boat. It was big enough that Jesus was asleep on a pillow in the stern. And the scripture says that there were other little boats with him as they tried to cross over. But this violent storm came down, and the waves were high enough that they were lapping over the side of the boat, and it was taking on water, and the disciples were afraid that they were about to perish. But Jesus stood up, and the scripture says he rebuked the wind, and a great calm ensued. I want you to know, and some of you most likely do, but just for clarity purposes, that same Jordan River that the Lord held back with his hand runs through the Sea of Galilee and exits out the Sea of Galilee into this Dead Sea and further south. And if the Lord was able to stop that Jordan River and hold it back, and Jesus was able to calm that stormy sea, folks, he's able to calm any storm that you might have in your life. So when you come to that bank and it looks stormy and that water's rushing by, remember, other people are watching you. How will you face that storm in your life? Will you have the faith to cross over? I pray that you will. I pray that we will look back at the grand old stories in the Bible and put ourselves and immerse them in those circumstances where, when we see what appears to be impossible, to understand that with the Lord, all things are possible. And we need to bring our impossibilities to God and pray and leave them at the feet of Jesus. May God add His blessings is my prayer. And folks, I want to encourage each and every one of you, let your faith be strong. Be a memory stone for the next generation.